Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. I was thinking back on something when I was a kid that would happen. We would oftentimes get into a discussion about whether or not something was true. For example, we'd oftentimes heard that the kid Mikey from the Life cereal commercial in the 70s had died from mixing Coca-Cola and Pop Rocks together. That's in fact just an urban legend. Mikey was more than alive, and you in fact don't die when you mix Pop Rocks and Coca-Cola. But the only way to have tested that theory back in the day was to, one, know Mikey and whether or not he was actually alive, and two, be willing to risk your own life, put it in peril by taking a drink of Coca-Cola and adding Pop Rocks and seeing what would happen. That phenomenon of the urban legend was something that, growing up for me, was something we had to deal with a lot, and you would hear that over and over again. You would hear certain people had died, you would hear certain things were happening, and over the course of experience, in the course of your own research by going to the library or doing some digging, you would learn that some of these things were in fact just not true. They were just stories made up and then passed along for whatever reason. As my life has progressed, those urban legends have now become somewhat of a mainstream media element. We might call it fake news, we might call it a bunch of different things, but it's basically not legitimate research, and it's sensationalized in an effort to get us to actually act on the information that's coming in. And it's provided in such a way that we don't actually ever have the full picture. We're given just enough information that if it is something we might be interested in, we're teased enough to just to click on the information and be passed along to an additional website that hopefully would provide that information. And what we don't consider is whether or not that information is true or accurate. We just assume that we want the information and the news source must be legitimate. And everybody's seen this kind of stuff, and everybody's kind of responded to it, particularly in, I think, broader media, where you see something like, hey, whatever happened to the cast of Happy Days? Or 14 things that everybody needs to know about why broccoli is not healthy for you? Or 6 reasons why cigarette smoking can increase your life? Whatever the title is, it's clickbait to get us to go on to the next page, and oftentimes that information is not entirely accurate. I got to thinking about, does that actually happen in photography? Does it happen in the photography blogging world? And of course it does. There's headlines you see like 5 things every photographer does wrong in Photoshop, 4 things the Fuji camera will fix to make you a better photographer. If you're at all curious or you're at all wonder about that, you're going to click on that and go to the next page. Now, when we do that, that information is all about helping somebody else drive ad revenue. It's about getting eyeballs onto a site. It's about getting eyeballs onto a page. And we see the ads. We see the information. And whether or not it's true doesn't matter, because the act was, and the goal of that headline was only get us to click over onto that page. Now, I don't want to rant and rave about fake news and clickbait, but what it did make me think about is, what if our own creativity and what if our own photographic process, not our photographic research and looking at things on the internet, but what if it was based on the same principles as fake news and clickbait for the internet? So if you think about that, if you all of a sudden were out and you were taking photographs and you were trying to get yourself in a good space, and the thought to your head was 4 things that you should do to be a great photographer. And then you sat there and thought about it. And in that process of thinking about it, you were like, oh, carry the latest gear. I need to go to B&H to look for gear. I need to go to Adorama to look at studio strobes. I need to go to this website to download a Photoshop action. I need to do this to actually get that done. It would not take very long for you to actually even be completely removed from the creative process, removed from the creative practice of creating the work. Because there's a discipline that comes from our creativity that allows us to stay in and stay focused without all of that distraction. However, I think we are permeated by the information that we bring in our creative process. So the world we surround ourselves with, the world we create for ourselves, is what ultimately defines how our creative process works. It's kind of the classic input in, input out. So if you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. And I think one of the things we have to do is we have to start to think about, how do we avoid sensationalism in our work? How do we avoid these notions of providing only part of the information in our creative process? How do we get to where we're satisfying the curiosity that we have, the desire to actually know something, but not fall victim to only getting a part of the information or believing something that's not true? And I think part of that comes from, we need to establish really strong community. We need to find a group of people who are willing to have really engaging conversations and dialogues about what is the nature of our creativity, how is our work actually being created, what is the value of that work, independent of whatever else might be going on. And I look at how we even describe some of our own photographic processes. For example, I do a lot of historical photography. I do a lot of work in platinum. I love wet plate work. And I'm taking digital work and I'm doing it in those methodologies. Now, if I get online and look, that's called alternate photography or alternative photography. I don't like the word alternative photography because that implies that it's something outside the realm. It's an alternate. It's a secondary approach. And I think it's just as a valid approach as any other form of photography, which is why I like to use the word historical. It's a look back to the integration of those processes. I also like to talk about it as it is a modern application of the experience of photography. So there's a number of different ways to do that, but I don't want to describe it as alternative because it implies that it is not within that realm. And that's one of the things that I think also with our creativity, how we talk about the words and how we describe the words is really important to our own ability to stand there and feel supported. So one of the other things I've found is if you start to be susceptible to the sensationalism of what's next, what needs to happen next, what kind of misinformation can be directed, your own creative process and supporting your creativity will be lost because the language we use is all about that support. And I'm not talking about when you read like, oh, to say that you're going to become a professional photographer, you just start telling people you're a professional photographer because that's just a load of hogwash. I could tell everybody I'm a surgeon, but that doesn't make me a surgeon. It's through the implementation and practice of what I'm doing, the studying, the years of education and practice and application make that happen. But in that process of saying something, finding that language to be supported, we are just as susceptible to five reasons why your photography is terrible in our own creative mind. When our own inner demon looks at ourselves and provides us the clickbait to say six reasons why you're not a good photographer. If you think about how you respond when you're dealing and struggling with your own creativity, a lot of it is provided that way. Three reasons why you shouldn't pick up a camera today. It's raining, you hate the cold, and you're lazy. Four reasons why you should stop processing that photograph. It's a terrible photograph, you don't know how to photograph, and you suck at Photoshop. Whatever your story is you tell, it comes in these tiny little bits of information that aren't true without any real backing. So you have to find the language, in addition to that community, you have to find the language to get yourself around that so that you're no longer susceptible to just these little sound bites. You actually have the support within your own creative practice to say, no, this is what I'm doing and this is why it actually matters. And I think it just takes a little bit of time of one, recognizing when you're providing yourself your own internal clickbait dialogue, two, what language you can use instead of that. For me, like I said, I kept calling myself an alternative photographer when that really was not the right word for me, because while somebody else may be fine with the word alternative, I wasn't. So I needed to find that to get out of the clickbait notion of three reasons why alternative photography makes you not a real photographer. Those are the stories that are in my head. I don't know why they show up, but they just do. And so finding a way to combat those is important. I also think it's really important that we define the community we have. And those are peers that actually have similar experiences and understandings. They're able to provide, in some ways, I think, a more tangible support of the craft we're doing, whether it be a sculptor, a painter for a photographer, or other photographers. They're just a knowledge of that experience. But I also think it's really important to develop within your friendships a chance to communicate and create dialogue within your friends so that they're able to better support your efforts, because you're going to be fighting this uphill battle of these small things that you tell yourself, the small things society tells yourself, the things you're going to read on news sources or researching. No matter where you go to research, you're going to find voices that are going to provide you with information that's not entirely accurate. So having a supportive friendship base that allows you to just be able to enjoy yourself, rant, and not be judged and not be valued, I think is critical. But you have to train those friends on, hey, when I say this, this is what I mean. When I say this, this is what I mean. So you have to have a little bit more in-depth dialogue than just sitting down and ranting over a glass of wine. You need to help inform them how they can help inform you back to make a much more critical decision about your creativity. I think one of the other things that's really critical when we look at all of this is that, and we have to remember that anytime we get a headline about five things for this, eight things for that, or however that manifests ourselves in our own creativity, we have to look at the end goal and what was truly the end goal of that. And like I said, for the internet with clickbait, it's all about driving eyes to a different website for revenue. It's all about advertising revenue. But in your own creative practice, if we take that analogy and we apply it to your own inner dialogue and your own clickbait you tell yourself, what's the end goal for that? Because it's not necessarily about revenue. Odds are you're not telling yourself five reasons why you need a new camera in your own head, in your own conversation, is not about you making more money. It's in response to something else. So I think part of it is, can you spend the time to figure out what is it in that clickbait arena of your own creativity, the fake news of your own creativity, why is that manifesting itself? Why is that information coming up? And then once you understand why that's happening, what would be the rationale behind that, you can take steps to prevent that. If it's because you're afraid, you can start to deal with what is it actually the fear in your creative process that's blocking you. If it's because you're unsure of a technical thing of how to do something, you can start to look at an educational aspect. If it's because you don't feel like you have the support of your community or your friends, you could then start to have a dialogue about that. But getting to the root element of why is it that you're being susceptible to things that aren't true in your own creative story, I think becomes a significant way or a significant leap for you in terms of how you can think about your creative process. I know for me, my own curiosity gets the best of me sometimes. And that's what causes me to go down the rabbit hole of clickbait on the internet and clickbait in my own creative process. I allow my curiosity of letting something sort of play out to provide that information is important. But I think at a time we have to realize that if what we see and think of is only part of the information, it's only part of the story, we just have to be suspect of that. We have to think, wait a minute, there's something else going on here. And we're always, I think, going to be at the whim of a little bit of click here or there, a little bit of subjectivity to our own creative process. But I think over time, we can start to identify what is truly legitimate creative practices and procedures versus things where we're just death spiraling out of control. I hope you get a chance this week to think about, you know, kind of how do you respond to your own creativity? What is the payout for you? So when you have your own internal monologue that's providing you with that disinformation, how does that get created? How does that respond and when you create the process? I also hope you have a great week behind the camera. Have a wonderful time. I am getting ready. I'll have some more information hopefully next week. I'll be appearing on Creative Live with some film and large format photography coming up here in a few weeks, but I'll have the details for that. Look forward to that. I also have a alternative processing, historical processing workshop in my studio here in October. So there's still some spaces for that. And I will be putting out some dates for some other workshops and some one-day workshops up here at the studio for a little one-off things for that. So have a great week. I will see you next time, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your week.